great to be here this morning and to be able to share with you. I bring greetings from my church, which is Charlbury Baptist Church, which is near Woodstock over in Oxfordshire. And we're having a really good time in our church. We're quite small in number, but we're seeing growth there and we're seeing God do some amazing things. Last year, about October time, I would have thought, a gentleman started coming to our church with his lady friend, and he was terminally ill with cancer. And but he was obviously seeking, you know, and he was really listening to what we were sharing in the church. And one Sunday, he asked me whether he could come through to the side room and whether we could have a chat and a pray. So he came through, and one of my colleagues from the, you know, the chapel as well came through, and we shared about Jesus with him and explained to him what you need to do to become a Christian. And he decided that he wanted to give his life to Christ, and we led him to Christ in that time. Time passed by, and then it came to Boxing Day, and very sadly, he lost his fight against cancer, and he died. And I was given the privilege of being able to take the funeral. And it was wonderful, really, because it's lovely to be able to share in a funeral when you know where the person's gone to, isn't it? You know, it's awful if you're sharing in a funeral and you know where they've gone to, but it's not the right place. But to know that he had gone to heaven to be with the Lord was a real privilege. And so I've experienced that in the last year. And we've seen lots of other things. We've seen the lady baptized in our church, and there hadn't been one for quite a few years. And we're seeing growth. And I think generally there is growth beginning to take place in the church, up and down and round and about. I was listening to something the other day, and they were saying that in their church there'd been a 69% increase of young people going to their church in the last 12 months. There are just signs of things beginning to change. So in your prayers, please pray that revival will break out in our nation, that changes will take place, and that people will be drawn to Jesus, because he's the only answer. And, you know, that's why we do our Gideon ministry, because we want to get the word of God into people's lives so that they can come to know the Jesus that we know, and their lives can be transformed, and that they can have a hope and a future. So that's very, very important. So I'll share that. I just wanted to share a story with you, which I'd heard the other day, which I thought was an amazing story, really. A missionary who originated from Scotland had gone out to Africa, and he had been working out there really hard, sharing the gospel, and he returned to the church that had originally sent him out. And in that, when he went back to the church, his intention was to just share the call, really, to go out to different countries, and particularly to Africa. So it was the Sunday when he was due to share in this church, and it was a horrible wet winter day. Not many people were there at the church, and most of the people who were there were elderly people. But he still felt it was right to share the message that he'd originally intended to share, and that the need for more labourers to go out into the harvest field. And he got to a point where he was sharing where he said, "Who will go?" And he repeated that three times, "Who will go? Who will go?" And I don't think he really expected to get a response, but they had an organ in this church, and it was in the old days where you needed to have a bellows to, you know, to pump to actually get the organ going. And there was a young lad who was blowing the bellows. And he shouted out all of a sudden, "I will go, I will go, I will go." You'll never guess who that young lad was. His name was David Livingstone. And that was amazing, wasn't it? And he was told that the best way for him to go out to Africa was to train to be a doctor. And so when he was old enough, he went and he trained. He eventually got to the age where he was experienced enough to go out to Africa as a medical missionary. And he worked very hard while he was out there. And he was trying to reach a particular tribe where he was in Africa, and it was very, very difficult. They were a pretty wild bunch, you know, and quite dangerous, really. So he challenged them about the gospel. And the chief got in touch and said, we're going to come to your church tonight and we're going to murder you all. That's a pretty scary thing, isn't it? I think we're safe here today. I don't think anybody's going to come and do that. So this chief had threatened to murder them all. But this chief and his tribe never turned up. And that was a bit puzzling, really. Livingstone and his fellow believers had prayed that God would protect them. But they never turned up. Later, the chief and the others came along and they gave their lives to Christ and became believers. And so he said to this chappy, you said you were going to come and murder us. And they said, yes, we did turn up. But when we got there, there were 39 giants around this church. And so they thought, oh, we're not going to take them on. We better escape. So they ran away. A couple of years later, Livingstone came back to Scotland and he went to the church that had originally sent him out and he just shared with them this story about, the 39 giants and this particular tribe. And the secretary of the church said, what date was it when that happened? And Livingstone had a very good diary and was able to tell them what date it was, and the secretary looked up in the diary and found out that on that particular evening there were 39 people in that church praying for David Livingstone and his team. And I thought, that's an amazing story, isn't it, of God's protection and his grace and how God answers prayer. That's why it's so important that we pray, isn't it? Because of his prayers, their prayers, David Livingstone and his group were rescued and saved by the power of God. And that isn't a coincidence that there were 39 people in the church and that there were 39 giants around the church out in Africa. So we praise God for that and his grace and his love and his mercy. He's an amazing God, isn't he? But I thought I'd just share for a little bit. It's all right, I won't preach for 2 hours today. I do sometimes, but no, I won't do today. And auctioneers, when they get to stand up, you can imagine we do talk for a long time. We've just had read out to us from Philippians. Philippians is a great epistle, and there are some wonderful truths there which we need to take hold of and grasp hold of. These obviously were written a long time ago, but they are as relevant for us today as they were back then when they were written. And it's amazing, really, at what Paul wrote and how he shared, bearing in mind the challenges that he had in his life. You know, I don't know how I would have reacted and behaved and been if I'd gone through what Paul had to go through. You know, he was flogged, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, you know. He went through enormous challenges, didn't he, in his life, and yet he was able to remain strong and he was able to stand up for Jesus and to write all the amazing letters that he's written, which are so powerful and so relevant to us. So, in this particular passage, starting at verse 4, it says there, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice when you feel like it, or every now and then. It says rejoice always. Not always easy to rejoice always, is it? You know, we have challenges in our lives and situations that arise that make it difficult for us to rejoice. And, you know, there's so much sort of issues that people seem to have these days, don't they, with, mental health and things like that, and people get depressed and down. But, you know, the solution, if you're starting to feel down, if you're starting to feel depressed, is to rejoice. Play some Christian music. Sing to God with your beautiful angelic voice and worship God. Worship is so important. And, you know, when you start doing that, when you're feeling down, God will lift you up, because your focus is going away from yourself and your problems and is focusing on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who is able to lift us up and where we can be seated in heavenly places with him. So, don't get down or depressed, or if you start getting down and depressed, don't dwell on it, but start worshipping God and praising God and rejoice in the Lord always. You know, Paul going through what he did, very difficult to imagine being able to rejoice in those situations, but he was able to do that, and that's where his strength came from, with his relationship with God and with Jesus. So that's very, very important. But the other area that's particularly referred to in this passage is about the importance of not being anxious and not worrying. How many of us never get anxious or worry? Anybody? I think we all do from time to time, don't we? But it's a question of what we do when that happens. I mean, Jesus talks a lot about not worrying as well, didn't he? And Paul does here. And he says, you know, how important it is that we do not be anxious about anything, it says. It doesn't say just you can be anxious about that, but you can't be anxious about that. He is saying that we should never really be anxious or worried. But there are things that we can do to help us when we start getting anxious and when we start worrying. And it's a very important principle that we need to understand. We need to learn how to really give all of our worries and our concerns to Jesus. It says here, doesn't it, in this particular passage, the importance, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and giving, let your request be made known to God. So we need to pray, we need to come before God, and we need to give him the things that we're worried about. And what we need to do is to let go of them. Give them to Jesus, let go of them, and he will then fill you with his peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's the place where we need to be. How easy do you find it to hear God's voice speaking to you? If you're full of worry and anxiety and stress and bottled up, you're probably not going to hear God's voice very clearly. And that's why God wants to set us free from worry and anxiety, so that we can be in that place of peace in God, where we can hear his voice speaking to us. My sheep hear my voice, know my voice, don't they? And we can know and hear God's voice, but we've got to be in that right place and tuned in to be able to hear his voice. And if we're bottled up and anxious and worried, we're probably going to miss it. So let's really make sure that we keep in a place of peace and rest in our Christian lives. This applied to my wife many years ago now, when one of my stepsons, was 10 years old. And he was in a really, really bad way. They had diagnosed a brain tumour, and he also had rheumatoid arthritis, and he was in agony. And one evening my wife saw him just laid out on the settee in so much pain. And what she did, rather than getting worried and anxious about it, she said, Lord, and she said it quietly so that he couldn't hear, she said, Lord, if you want him, you take him. And by doing that, what she was doing was applying these scriptures, really, and saying, Lord, you take him, take away the burden, take away the worry from me. And as soon as she did that, the worry went from her, and Jesus was able to take over the situation, and also the devil had to let go as well. Because if you give something to Jesus, well, the devil's not going to be there, is he? So it's an important principle. And when she did that, he immediately started to get better. The specialist came round that evening to see him. He was due to come, and he actually rang to say he was running late. And my wife said, well, don't worry if he can't make it. He's looking a lot better. Anyway, he said, well, I'm coming past anyway, so I might as well call in. And so he came, and he came to see Alex, and he took a torch to look into Alex's eyes. And previously when he'd looked, he'd seen this shadow growing, which was the tumour. But when he looked in, that the shadow was shrinking. and that shadow disappeared and the tumour disappeared completely. And it was all because my wife was willing to let go of the worry and the burden and to bring in God's peace into that situation. Alex came along to the church the next day, and the minister and I laid hands on Alex and prayed for him, and he was completely healed from his rheumatoid arthritis as well, and he is now fit and well. I mean, he was 10 then, he's 40 something now, and he's never had a problem since because God healed him. We didn't think it was right to say don't take your tablets anymore, so we just left him to continue to take his tablets. But about 6 months later, my wife was having a bit of a sort out in the house, and she was cleaning under the furniture, and she found a whole load of packets of tablets that he hadn't taken. And so she said to Alex, "You've not been taking your tablet. You know, what's going on?" And he said, "I know. I know I don't need to take these tablets because I know Jesus had healed me." And so he didn't need to take the rest of the tablets. And he was fit and well. But it was the principle of not worrying and being anxious about things, but giving the burden to Jesus, letting go, and allowing him to fill her with his peace. And I've known that many times myself, that, you know, we do worry, we do get anxious, but don't bottle it up. Don't let it stay there, but just give the whole situation to God and allow his peace to come in. The peace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within each one of us if we're a believer. You know, Romans 8 talks about that, doesn't it? That the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. And that's an amazing thing. The more I meditate on that, the more amazing I think it is, really. You know, that God's Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we have the living Jesus Christ in us to help us and to guide us in our lives. And he wants us to involve him in everything that we do. So can be victorious in Jesus, and we can know and experience his peace. And it goes on to tell us a little bit more about, you know, after it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And it goes on to say that when we, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But we need to put these things into practice. You know, we can know the whole scripture, you know, but if we don't apply it and use it, it's not going to get us very far. But when we apply what it says in the Word of God, then we will see the answers to that, and God will change and transform our lives and our situations. So, you know, God is a good God. He's a loving God. He has a plan and a purpose for us, and he wants us to live in accordance with his Word. You know, again, the passage in Romans chapter 12, the first bit there, you know, he doesn't want us to conform any longer to the ways of this world, but for us to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. We need our minds to be renewed and transformed. Lots of people's problems are in their minds. God can change our minds. We have the mind of Christ. You know, that's an important thing to understand and to know. And, you know, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. God wants us to have sound minds. God wants us to be resting in his peace, to know his strength, and to live a life that is going to really reflect Jesus and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, you know, we need to be transformed. And, you know, it goes on to say again a bit later on, doesn't it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do some things, but I can do all things. You know, we have the strength of Christ inside of us. And the more we commit our lives to Jesus, the more we walk the walk, the more we will see things happen. I've had the privilege of leading 7 people to the Lord in the last week. I shared at 2 different meetings. In one, 4 people gave their lives to the Lord, and the other 3. And God's on the move. Things are happening. People are hungry and desperate. You know, the world's a horrible place, isn't it? Full of evil and getting worse, not better. But of course, it says in Scripture too, doesn't it, that, you know, in the end times, you know, things will get worse, not better. But all the more reason why we need to share about Jesus, why we need to get the word of God into people's lives so that they can come to know the Jesus that we know, the one who transforms and changes. Jesus is far more than an ordinary person. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God itself. He is the answer to all our needs. He is the only answer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we need to be bold. And it may well be that we experience more and more persecution in the days ahead because people don't like to be challenged with a scripture like that, do they? It's not really what the politicians would approve of. But, you know, things are changing and God is on the move. And we can expect to see things happen and change. And usually, the more persecution there is, the greater the power of God. And, you know, often revivals have happened either during or after a time of persecution. So don't be surprised if revival breaks out in our nation. We're believing for it. We're seeing it in other parts of the world, out in Africa. When you go to Uganda, you know, you've just got to mention the name Jesus. They know exactly who Jesus is. And you've just got to share the gospel and they'll respond. Yeah?
It is happening here. There's great rallies in London.
Yes.
There's a breakout in Telford. All young people.
Yes, a lot of it is young people, isn't it? But it's certainly happening. And a lot of the churches that I know, there is quite significant growth. And there's a greater hunger for Jesus and for God. So we should be excited. And we need to do all that we can to do our part to share the gospel message with those that we meet. Pretty well every week I'm out somewhere sharing the gospel in somewhere in the UK. And it's very exciting if I'm not in Africa. But, you know, it's just so exciting and it's such an important message. And we need to be enthused about this message. And we need to be getting these scriptures out to people so that they can read for themselves. You know, a lot of people in prisons have become Christians through reading testaments and reading about who Jesus is and what he's done. And the Holy Spirit challenges their hearts and they come to know Jesus. You know, we must get this gospel message out. Because it says, you know, the gospel message will go out to the whole of the world and then Jesus will return, doesn't it? We want to see Jesus return, but we need to see the gospel get out to every nation and, you know, for people to come and experience the reality and the life of Jesus. So we need to be right in our own relationship with God. We need to make sure that we're experiencing that peace of God, that we're not people who are anxious and worried and no different to the way the world people are. We should be different. When people see us, they should see Jesus in us, and they should see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and they will be attracted to that. You know, some churches seem to think that they ought to become more like the world to attract people into their church. The opposite is the truth. We need to be as far away and distant from the ways of the world as possible and to really reflect Jesus, because that's what people need. And when they see him in us, they will be drawn to him. So, you know, let's really commit our lives fully to Jesus and live that life to experience his peace and to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Right.
Yeah. Where are we? Yeah. What time is it?
What time is it?
24:25. Yeah, 25:25.
We're early.
Yeah, that's all right. Can I just share something with you? We've been praying for Will Andrews for a long time. And I received a letter from his wife yesterday, an email. Sad news. Please excuse this rather impersonal email, but I am really sad to have to tell you, Will passed away peacefully on the 15th of August in the Royal Street Hospital. It was unexpected, even though he has been ill for a long time, neither of us thought that he wouldn't be coming home as he did. There had a funeral, Thanksgiving service for him on the 9th